Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the 2025 Budget Day 2 of Doing More with Less. Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Mayor Prus.
Here.
Mr. Kleeworth.
Here.
Ms. Therrien.
Here.
Ms. Sprinkle.
Here.
Ms. Tidwell.
Here.
Mr. Marnie.
I'm here.
Mr. Ringstein.
Here. We're going to start this morning with the CFO. She wanted to readdress revenues. Real estate taxes, I believe, property taxes.
Yesterday, Mr. Kleeworth had a question. Why is there a difference between 2023 and 2024? And naturally, my mind went to decreases due to exemptions, and that is not the case. I started thinking about it, and I said, we will still collect the same amount. What would happen is the mill levy would adjust. So then that made me think, well, why did it change? And you're all going to go, oh, okay, tobacco tax. That's why it changed from one year to the next. Because of our cap. The cap is the reason, but it's a different reason. It's the tobacco tax. And then my research in that made me look a little bit deeper. So on our budget amendment, it needs to change to $273,000 up and not down. So we will have an amendment to the budget that's on the floor. So that number will go up by $273,000.
What's your number?
The property tax for 2024, because he was comparing it to 2025. It will go up $273,000 for 2024.
155.
Yes, correct. And there's still a difference, but that is why it moved from 2023 to 24. It was tobacco tax, and that's what we had anticipated.
That brings it closer to
your perspective, 2025.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Okay. Well, does that change 25?
No, it does not. 25 is correct.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And it just changed 24, which I knew we needed to do an adjustment for it, and we will do an amendment. But I'll bring forth an amendment to that budget.
Mr. Ringstead.
I got to tell you, I really enjoy the way that brain of yours works. I mean, and you took the effort to go and do this. It would have made very little difference at this point if you hadn't corrected it. But, you know, you did. Thank you.
No, it was after I made the comment. I was like, that shouldn't have changed the mill levy. So I that's why I told Mr. Kleeworth, I'll dig into it because it just didn't. Makes sense.
Ms. Sprinkle.
Would something like this have been discovered if we hadn't done it now in audit?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I just wanted to see that that works.
Uh-huh. Yes. It would have. We would have gone through the audit and we would have realized that it was higher than what we anticipated. The number was correct as of that date and without the information that we had, but yes.
Mm-hmm. So what was the mill? What was the final mill?
The final mill rate is correct.
What is that?
It's correct. The final mill rate that you had was correct. For 2024, you had a 6.178. Let me take a look at that. The mill levy is correct.
Okay.
Let me make sure that part is clear. The only difference is kind of truing up everything, yes.
And you wanted to readdress
6.178. Oh, and then the emergency service patrol was the second item. We had a conversation about moving that from out of general account into the mayor's. Some of the room rental project funds, I recommend keeping it under the general account, because some of the room rental project money is used for emergency service patrol because it funds what's going on down at Golden Heart Plaza.
7%.
Yeah, the 7%.
So you're saying keep it in
the general account. Okay. Then it's both in the same section of the budget.
Okay.
Okay.
And those are just the two items I had, and I will make sure I give you the correct mill levy because I think I'm looking at last year's.
First up this morning is the mayor's department. Mr. Sanders, you want to bring us through that?
Yes, sir.
So the mayor's department is it's a pretty straightforward one. It's not a whole lot of wiggle room in that one to begin with. If you turn to page 17, you can see most everything is staying pretty close to what it was this year. We did have, I want to point out a few things that we are cutting down on travel. We cut it down to 10,000, and how we're going to do that is all conferences and are canceled for the mayor's office, myself included. I will not be going to AML next year, which, to be honest, isn't a big loss for me.
We're setting them free.
Training has been cut down to just the bare essential, just the folks that have certifications that we need to maintain. So Jake and Jess and HR and Christina and Jared and risk and safety. We're cutting those down. Dues and publications, we're cutting those down to just the ones that are essential. And we did increase community promotions, but that's just because the stuff that we end up sponsoring, it's always at least $1,000. Like the defense forum alone this year was, I think, $1,500 was the minimum that we could sponsor. So those are the changes to the budget. Any questions on those before I go to the Valerie?
Ms. Brinkle.
Oh, sorry.
Or Ms. Therian.
The mayor's request for salaries and wages went down a little bit. Can you explain that?
For a brief period of time this year, we had an extra position that never actually got filled, and then it ended up going to the fire department for the community paramedic. The community paramedic was one of those positions that has a big, strong social service tie-in, so it could have been fine with our coordinators in this hallway back here, but we ultimately ended up moving that back over to the fire department.
Ms. Sprinkle.
Do we have any missing people?
For the mayor's office? No, we're full,
full staff.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
If you look at it, we're behind police, fire, and public works, we're the largest department. But then again, we have three people that are funded through grants. So, but they report to me, they report to Mike, and do a great job. Mr. Ringstead.
Well, that was a question I had. One of the concerns in your page 11 there about grant fund ending. We have three positions in your office on grants?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
So what is the status of those? Are those something that we just maybe we'll get again? Maybe we won't. We definitely won't. I mean, where are we at with those?
So the housing coordinator grant is good through 26. That's one that I don't know if the trust funded it for 4 years, then Rasmussen funded it for 3 years. I think at some point we may, after 26, that might be a position that we want to consider funding ourselves. We tried to go without it for a little bit when I transitioned from the housing coordinator to the Crisis Now coordinator. That was a little bit of a disaster, to be honest. The coalition kind of fell apart, and a lot of the great work that they were doing just kind of, not because I wasn't there, but just there was a lot of turnover in the community around that time. So I think that's a position that we may want to consider funding.
It's
2026. The reentry coordinator position was just the trust was going to stop funding that in 25. They've now extended that to 2026. Marcia, the one thing with Marcia is she is amazing at finding funding. Like almost every day, she's like, "Oh yeah, I just got another 30
She's our
grand.
Next grant writer. She's our other grant writer.
Yeah.
She really is.
Yeah, she's finding money. I'm not worried about that one not getting funded again. And then the Crisis Now coordinator, I'm fairly confident that the Alaska Mental Health Trust will maintain that at least until we have a crisis stabilization center accomplished, and that will be a few years out. So I don't think there's any big worries there.
Mr. Marnie.
Hey, Mike, I'm trying to grasp what this, your count 7510 is this interdepartment risk. Why is there such a big credit there? I mean, what?
So that's the risk. So a lot of Christina's work will, with with claims and things like that, workman's comp, all that stuff, all of her hours there, all that, any of her expenses get charged to the risk fund rather than general fund.
Okay.
You're welcome. Any other questions?
If you want, we can do a quick run through of the SWOT. Performance measures and the SWOT analysis. The SWOT analysis didn't change a whole lot from last year. It's you know, a lot of the same stuff that we had before. You know, some of our strengths. Again, we have a very engaged mayor, which is a big strength. We have almost all of us are Arbinger instructors now, which is a new strength that we have. Some of our weaknesses, it's all in the stuff that we don't have the staff for. You know, it's like me doubling down as the IT director, HR having a ratio of 1 to 100 rather than 1 to 50, risk and purchasing combined one. Some of the opportunities that we're looking at, you know, we're still always looking for grants, and I feel like this department does a pretty good job of going out and securing grants, especially when you add in our three social service coordinators. Those three are amazing at finding money, and not just for their individual programs, but for the city in general. our threats, you know, the grants ending, that was definitely a threat that we had. Disasters of any type, that's something that we've been trying to really keen in on, trying to be prepared in case there was some sort of you know, like if we had like the wildfires that they had in Hawaii, like, you know, we want to be prepared for that sort of stuff. And we've taken some pretty serious actions to get there with that. So that's our SWOT analysis. For our objectives, we changed all of our objectives. The one thing that I will say with doing our strategic planning every year is I know at first everybody, a lot of folks scoffed at it, you know, didn't think that it would be that it'd be beneficial. But the thing that makes it beneficial is when the department heads once a quarter have to get up and brief to their peers and to the mayor where they're at on the performance measures, it makes a lot of stuff get done. I know myself personally, some of my performance measures get done about a week out before I have to brief because they're like, oh man, I gotta get this done or I'm gonna look like a fool. So so it does work.
If you look at it, yeah. We have 10 items. Most departments have 4. So we've put ourselves under a different standard, and we try and get things done. And a great department, executive officer right there, he does a great job. Right. Ms. Tidwell.
So I'm looking at the salary and wages for 2024 amended. 17. So that 665, is that higher than our last year's budget? Because when we moved that position to the mayor's budget, we amended it to show in there, but then we moved it back out. Is that the 123,000?
No, the difference is you have a staff that retired or resigned that was at a higher level than your new staff that came in.
And that accounts for 123,000?
We also brought in the abatement specialist, so you brought in Jared, and we briefly had the community paramedic position as well, which is at a little bit higher. You know, paramedics are paid pretty good. So.
Okay. I bet it's probably the abatement.
Mr. Marnie.
Since we're speaking about Jared, I see under his job description, he's got a dual position there, and I think the intent of hiring him was to be the abate code compliance specialist before the safety, the hazmat or the OSHA stuff. So I would like to emphasize that that's his main role, and maybe the OSHA stuff comes second place. I don't know if he's got time to do both equally as well.
That's definitely the mayor's call, but if I don't think that you're going to be doing nearly as much abatement, like in the wintertime as you are in the summertime. I think that his job is going to be very cyclic. When he his first few weeks here, he was big, hot, and heavy into the last minute abatement stuff that we were working on. But now it's starting to taper more into the risk safety area, and that is a big expense that the city is bleeding money every year is from our injuries and safety issues.
Okay. Mr. Marnie, first of all, you're absolutely right. But I look at it as a seasonal. And in real estate broker, you're seasonal. You know, you go into November, December, January, February, you're not doing much. That's when he's going to be concentrating on risk. Coming into February, we're starting to line up houses we're looking at abating. By March, April, we're giving him notification. So when May opens up, he's on it, both on abatement and blighted properties. I'm already sending him blighted properties. We're already working with owners and things like that for next year. But you're absolutely right. And I would encourage all of you through February, go down and meet him in his office, see what he's doing. I encourage that for any employee here that, you know, we open doors for you. I will treat you the way I always wanted to be treated. And you absolutely hired him. You allowed us to hire him from Sue's graph. Everything goes through him. So, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Anything else before we go to Mike's other job, IT? Let's go to IT.
Okay. This is the one that scares me. All right, so if we turn to page 45 or 46, sorry. So yesterday I mentioned that every department was that we touched every department with the cuts to get the revenue that we needed, or not the revenue, sorry, the reserve that we needed. You'll see that my initial requests were a little bit higher than what I ended up with, and I was the one that, you know, was the hardest on this, on my own section here. So I cut the operating supplies by $7,000. I think we can do that. I think we'll be all right. Sure. So what we use for IT, the big one is toner for the different copiers and printers. I mean, with all the copiers and printers we have throughout the city, you know, that adds up really quick.
So in our paperless society.
Yeah. Yeah. We are getting better at that. We used to have a department that would print off big books every time they were here. That's not happening. So that helps us a little bit. So we're dropping that down to 8,000. I think that'll be fine. Professional services. It was 110 this year. Next year, before I realized, what the budget was going to look like, there was some consultant work that I was wanting to get done, mainly around cybersecurity. I'm going to take that out and drop us down to 100,000 there. I think we'll be fine. 750. That's our long-term IT contract, so that there's no changing in that. Outside contracts went up significantly, and I'm about to ask you for more money. I didn't tell the mayor about this because that just happened yesterday, and I forgot about it until I saw my note that I put on here yesterday. But outside contracts has gone up pretty significantly. About 100,000 of that is for the CAD for police, fire, and dispatch. It's gone up by about $100,000. The good thing with that is a portion of that will be recouped through the through dispatch's contract, which gets renewed this upcoming year. So a good portion of that money will be recouped. The other big hit to that was the Microsoft licenses that we have for everybody, all city employees and the city council. That went up by about $58,000. So those are big ones. And then I had one other one that I've been worried about, and I got that yesterday afternoon, and that was for Veeam. I don't know how to explain it. It's like a background software system that helps IT track where there's issues at and send fixes for it. And it helps with duplicate softwares and keeping stuff updated. That went up by about another it was almost 13,000. So that's one I was going to ask for. I just got this yesterday. I was worried about that one. I got the quote yesterday, and it's up by about 13,000. So I was going to ask if you'd be willing to put another 13,000 into outside contracts for that. And then phone's about the same. It's been pretty steady. We just did audits on, well, we did audits on everything this year, but we did audits on our phone and cut again. The first year I was chief of staff, we did audits on our FirstNet, and we were able to cut $30,000. So this one wasn't nearly as robust as the cuts from back then, but we saved a little bit. Fiber optics is a fixed cost. Equipment replacement. You'll see when you look at the capital budget that I'm pulling out more than what I'm putting in, but that's because I've been planning for some of the capital projects for the last few years. I've been, you know, squirreling away money for it, so that's why I don't have to put in the full amount this year for the stuff that we'll be doing. And then the non-equipment, we've hit that pretty heavy last year and this year, so we're going to see if we can just cut that down. And and then non-equipment would be like, you know, the laptops and you know, tablets and stuff like that. We'll still do our replacements for the ones that are due to be replaced, but nothing new this upcoming year. And
yes. Ms. Therrien.
I'll move to amend the add 13,000 to. You want it under other outside contracts?
Yes, ma'am. Yep.
Is there a concurrence with that, Ms. Sprinkle?
I'm not ready. No, I'll wait. I'm not going to say yes to it.
Okay. Is there a concurrence with the $13,000 addition, or is there anyone against it?
I'd like to know more about it, and I'm not ready to say yes to it. Yes.
Okay.
I have, and maybe I can ask this question to mm-hmm. get a better sense. When you've said outside contracts, it sounds mostly like you're talking about software.
Yes, almost entirely.
It's not people, it's software.
It is.
Okay. You said something about the CAD upgrade going to be replaced or paid for by way of the contract at next door?
A portion of it gets paid from, so a portion of all dispatch costs gets spread out amongst all the immense everybody that they dispatch for. So, I mean, we still get the bulk of it because our fire and our police are the most of the calls. But then, you know, like North Pole will contribute a little bit. Steese Fire will contribute a little bit.
For use of the software.
Right.
Okay. Okay, it's per the 13 grand. Could you
review that again, why
you want to? Oh, yeah. So it's some geeky IT stuff that I barely understand, but it is, I'm being completely honest. It's a background program that AlaskaConnect runs for us. It monitors all of our software. It looks for duplicates and I believe does like the updates and just makes sure that all of our stuff's in compliance with the latest security patches and all that.
You know, counsel, every year when we put this budget together, Mike looks at me and says, could we hire an IT person?
Yeah.
And I say, oh, no, your punishment. Say,
what's the switch?
Your punishment is also be IT.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there is a question of that. But that wouldn't get rid of software. It would just put a person in there.
And I'll be honest, I don't understand why software costs are going up so much. I mean, it's going up more than inflation, considerably more than inflation, and I don't know why. So.
Yeah,
I mean, that's part of it, yeah.
So are we still talking about the increase? Do we still
talking about the $13,000 increase.
I hate saying yes, but there's no reason we shouldn't, right?
I mean, it's something we'll have to give, I think, if not. So when I do this, I have a spreadsheet that's several tabs, and under the outside contracts, it's hundreds and hundreds of different things that we pay for. Everything has an electronic component now, like our vehicles, everything does. Like, this isn't a work-related thing, but 3 weeks ago, I bought a new chainsaw. It comes with an app. It's a gas-powered chainsaw.
Shut up.
Why in the world
it.
Do I have an app? I haven't even downloaded it. Everything has an electronic
component. Like a refrigerator.
Yeah.
Yes, Sue.
I second her motion.
Okay. Anyway, I think we have concurrence. Where Margarita, could you increase that by $13,000? Thank you. Any other items? Yes, Mr. Marnie.
So, is it foolish to think that we couldn't bring that in-house, the IT department?
It was
$750,000 is a lot of money.
Yeah. It was before. It was in-house before. Part of that $750,000, though, is for our network, which we couldn't do in-house. You know, we're not an internet provider. So, but the personnel, I mean, we could bring in personnel, but there'd still be a chunk of this.
Yeah, but it would still give you time back.
If we just had somebody managing the managing IT, that I think that would be something that would be beneficial.
It's surely got to be worth some dollars, your time away from what you do.
I don't even think it's that. I think it's more of the, I would feel better with it having somebody that understands IT just for the procurement aspects of it and for the cybersecurity aspect of it. With cybersecurity, I've been trying to get smart on it. It's the thing that worries me the most with IT because, I mean, you've seen, you know, here in Alaska, we've had communities I've been hit with stuff. My basic response to anything cybersecurity related so far has been, yep, we're going to do it. I just got to figure out the funding for it. Like, we just got on Monday, you'll see a resolution for a grant that we got for more cybersecurity stuff. I don't know if I'm going overboard. I don't know if it's appropriate. I know that we're one of the few, I know that a lot of communities lost their cybersecurity insurance over the last couple of years, and every year we've been good so far, but.
So why did we take it out of house? I forgot what I was before my
that
time.
That was before me. Okay. I think probably because Jim Williams was the chief of staff at the time, and he was an IT guy by trade, so that it probably made sense then.
So is that something we can look at, Mr. Mayor?
Yes, it is. And I guess I can quit punishing Mike.
I have another question, sorry, unrelated.
Go ahead.
You know, it's the time, it's where we are in the world. Are we established that we can't have, let me start again. I'm sorry, I'm so tired. Are landlines essential anymore?
We do get a lot of calls on our landlines.
Yeah, but it's a change of phone number if we don't have a landline, right? I just wonder if that's... I'm just throwing it out, just getting crazy.
I definitely would keep it for the...
Some?
Keep some. I would keep, like, the mayor's for sure. I would keep the dispatch. I mean, definitely has to have it. Fire definitely has to have it. Police definitely have to have
it. Is it maybe just a little project to look at as an option? I mean, does HR, no offense, does HR need a landline? Does finance need... I don't know. I'm just throwing that out.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money.
Oh, so that's not just landline, though, the telephone? Yeah, our cell phones are in there, too.
Okay. Yeah. All right. That helps me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mr. Cleworth and Ms. Therian.
Like, some time ago, we talked about security cameras in Golden Harp Plaza. Whatever happened to that project?
Oh, it's done. It's up and going.
It's done.
Matter of fact, just the other day, Julie Jones, like 2-3 days ago, Julie Jones wanted to see what the cameras look like, so I sent her a screenshot from my computer. It's up and going.
How many cameras are there?
It's a total of 8 views. It's 4 camera, or I think 5 cameras, but there's multiple views on a few of them. So it's a pretty good. It's not perfect, but it's pretty good.
You know what happens is you have an incident here, and you see where your holes are. We had the guy who was staying here and camping out in the back break room closet, and then we saw the holes that we had. So you had more video and stuff like that.
Yeah, the police leave that feed up in the officer's room. They leave the Golden Heart Plaza feed up most days. Almost every time that I go in there, that's what they have up there. It's they know it's a high, you know, a high risk area. So they'll be in there.
Talking about putting one across from
the Mecca.
You guys were. I don't want any part of that one.
I thought I was told that.
Well, first of all, we don't own the Marriott.
But I did hear that somewhere from somebody. I don't know why. I didn't dream it. I promise.
Ms. Therian.
I just have kudos for the IT department. I went there yesterday to get my tablet, and he was amazing.
Tell him you had an email to get rid of.
I had almost 4,500 emails from my guests from the time that I was on the city council for 6 years, and he got rid of all of them except from October 14th, and he did it in like less than 5 minutes. So, and you know, and he put Zoom on for me so I can Zoom into the meetings. And I just think that if Mike is having such a hard time, that maybe we should think about what it would cost to put someone in here, but they certainly would have to know everything that the IT people know. And I'm not sure what that would cost, but maybe you could come up with a proposal.
Give us a couple months.
Yeah.
And we'll see if we can formulate a plan to integrate a person for IT. Yeah. And
would that be within this budget?
On a personal basis, there is a reason why IT is directly across the office from the mayor. Mr. Marty.
I would like to see that place cleaned up a little bit, though.
Have you ever hung around IT people?
Yeah, well, that's the reason you should say that.
Can I address that real quick?
Yes.
So that is actually one of my objectives, and I'm cheating a little bit. I'm already started on that. We're doing a massive renovation in there. Yeah. So if you go in, I'll show you guys. Anybody that wants to see it after this, I can go in there and you can see where we literally have walls knocked down right now. We're trying to make that a usable space.
It's a depressing area.
It won't. In 6 months from now, it won't be. So.
Anything else on IT, Mr. Ringstead?
How many people do they have working? You know, we've got this contract, but if we're talking about bringing them in, I mean, how many people do they actually working for us?
They have two that rotate out of here that are here that we see every day. They have engineers that are dedicated to us. So they have one engineer. They have two other, like, I don't even know what you would call them. They're just like overhead IT guys that oversee stuff, one of which used to be a city employee and when we had an IT department. So they have, and then they have a 24/7 call center for us. So if we have something that happens at, you know, Saturday at 3 o'clock in the morning, they can, they have people that can address that.
Not one or two.
I believe the help desk has more than that.
Oh yeah, they have a lot.
I've talked to at least five or six different help desk people.
But they don't work 100% for us.
No.
Correct.
Yeah.
But I mean, so if we're looking at bringing it in, we're talking several people, not one or two.
What I would do is, what my recommendation would be is, I would leave Alaska Connect because they do a great job. They've been doing it for a long time with us. I would leave Alaska Connect, but if we're going to bring in anybody, I would bring in somebody, an IT person one IT person to oversee everything. I find myself sole sourcing a lot. The procurement stuff worries me a little bit. I find myself sole sourcing a lot of stuff that I don't know that I need to sole source it. You know, I don't know. I sole source it through Alaska Connect because they provide everything else for us, but I don't know for a fact that I need to on some of it.
Ms. Therrien.
Hey. So when you said you'll have something within a couple months, does that mean it would be included in this budget?
No. It'll be supplemental, and it would be a plan to integrate an IT person, be it full-time, part-time, what his job description would be, how he'd review it, how we could look at savings from that position into the IT department to try to self-fund most of it itself. Ms. Sprinkle.
When you do those kind of numbers, again, Mike's time is valuable. So
yes, it is.
If it takes 10 hours out of his week, how do you put that number into this quotient? Do you do that?
Well,
do you show the effective savings in Mike's job?
You never know what's going to come up that he has to address in IT at a moment's notice.
I know what I'm getting at, right?
Yeah, and there is no way to do that.
Yeah, I'm salaried anyway, so.
Then forget it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Only if dispatch is having issues, then I will. And it's usually when I get the call, though, Alaska Connect's always on it already. Like, the dispatchers will contact Alaska Connect, and then sometimes dispatchers will contact me about it, but usually it's Alaska Connect will, you know, shoot me a message like, hey, we're already on it type thing.
Ms. Sprinkle.
Mike, is this outside contracts, is this also inclusive of that very, 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 very expensive website we're buying?
Oh, yes, it's in there. But the one thing with that very expensive website is that a very ex- What's that? Oh, sorry. The website's actually going to end up saving us a bunch of money after the setup. So.
How so?
Because it's half the price of the current website, and it also eliminates a $9,000 a year software program for boards and commissions.
Oh, okay. I think those kinds of numbers coming to us make me feel better. Yeah. So I appreciate that.
Yeah. Let's go to city clerk. Now,
Sorry, Margarita has pointed out, we didn't go over the capital. Did you guys want to look at the capital for IT? I briefly mentioned it, but I didn't actually go through it.
What page do we go to, Margarita?
112.
All right, so with the, what I was originally planning was, I've been putting copy machines in there every year just because I feel like we keep breaking them. We had a lot of old ones that weren't getting serviced anymore because they were out of date. But I'm fairly confident that we have replaced them all. So I took that out when we started doing the budget stuff. The big ones are the storage area networks. SANs are integral part for our data management. Ours are due for replacement. It's something that we've known for a while that they were due for replacement. So we've been saving for those. You'll see they're about $60,000 a piece. We already had a fair amount in IT's unassigned balance, so we'll be using some of that for those. Security upgrade system, I put that in there almost as like a just in case, but we've done so much security upgrade recently that I don't think we actually need it. So we took that out, and then the firewall upgrade, that's another thing that is, it's scheduled out, planned, we know that it's due. We're actually, in addition to replacing our existing firewalls, we're putting in two more. We found, our IT guys found a spot where they think that there should be another firewall to increase our security. Basically, it sections off the IT section, so like if City Hall gets hit, it's not going to take down, the fire station type thing or the dispatch.
Ms. Sprinkle?
Why do you label two
separate? There's just two of them. Yeah. Yeah, so we have duplicates basically here and dispatch. So and those two run the everything in the city.
Okay.
So, yeah. Okay. Let's go to.
Oh, wait, one other thing. Talking about the training, fire training software and what all that stuff, is that in here or is that in fire?
That's not in here. That was its own separate capital thing. So it is in there. And I actually have an update on both of the outstanding IT capital projects that are out there. So the battery backup for here in City Hall. We finally got a real quote for that. I think we came in on maybe Friday or maybe Monday this week. Anyway, within a week, we got that quote. So it came in fairly like $50,000. I think we had 100 and something budgeted for it. So that one's moving forward. And then for the fire training center, we're looking at rather than turning a room into a server room, we're buying these completely encapsulated server boxes that have their own fire suppression, their own coolants, their own battery backups. So it's an all-in-one, all-encompassing thing. And I was talking to the local distributor for that company earlier this week, and she is working on that quote for us. It's just taking her longer than she anticipated.
Would that live in this file on this page though?
No, the fire training center has its own spot, and I'd have to look. I'm not sure. Margarita might know off the top of her head what page.
So we can
it's
talk
on.
About it when it happens. All right, thank you.
You normally need one of those.
Yeah, they come in different sizes. We chose the one that was the appropriate size for. We went with it would cover everything that we have right now plus a little extra in case there's some sort of expansion.
That's cool. And then
okay.
Public Works more.
Public Works.
Madam Clerk, we told her in the beginning that we were devastating her budget. And I threw Mike under the bus on it.
Does that mean the candy goes away?
But that comes out of my pocket.
If you look at page, if you look at page 31, we did one correction with her. We took her repair section 5701. She wanted $500 in repair and maintenance. We cut it down to 250. So she won the least adjusted budget.
That's not all you cut.
I know. But she's still pissed off about that.
No. Well, it's
Madam Clerk, it's your budget. Go ahead.
It's better than last year because last year when I walked in the door, he didn't cut less. He didn't cut more last year, but he held up my budget papers and he just ripped them in half. As an introduction to my budget meeting. So at least that didn't happen this year.
This year, every person who came in, I looked at them and I said, don't take this personally, but after all the departments submitted their budget, we have a $7,200,000 deficit. And I want to give a $2 million surplus. So that's how I started it this year. My first budget, everyone who came in, I said, don't take this personally, but if you quit today, do you have an in-house replacement ready to go, trained up? So I always start with something. With her budget, it was so perfect last year, I just had to rip it up and start afresh. Anyway, Madam Clerk.
Okay. I think you all know what the mission of the city clerk's office is. I won't go over that. Our core duties, responsibilities, and functions. Of course, you know we conduct the annual election, provide all of the public notice for the city pursuant to the Open Meetings Act, and all other notices required by the Fairbanks General Code and City Charter. We prepare all the meeting agendas, keep the permanent record of the council and committees, manage records citywide, do the codification function for the city of Fairbanks, maintain the city seal and attest the documents. Our office also serves as the cashier for all payables to the city. And we issue and maintain all the city licenses and permits. Those are the highlights of what takes up the majority of our time in the office. Last year, we were fortunate enough to hire a records manager. And I, again, thank the council for that. I think that position is one that is so needed at the city, and I hope it never, ever goes away. She's already digging in pretty deep. She's met with all the departments. She really just started fresh with our records retention schedule. You'll be seeing that before you within the next month or two for review and approval, hopefully. And that is a huge undertaking. It's one of the first steps to kind of getting us on the correct path to manage our records properly. In 2024, we also were able to reclassify some of the positions in the office, along with the hiring of the records manager. We put in the records manager, we put her in the IBEW, and we're able to pull the deputy clerk out, which was something that I think had been on my radar and to-do list for a decade. I think Jerry Cleworth had wanted to get that done also. So that was a big accomplishment. And we try to continue to do as much outreach as possible. It's not something that we've given a ton of attention to, but we do try to visit schools whenever we have the opportunity to engage with kids. We participate in every tour pretty much that comes to City Hall and try to do a little presentation about the council and the functions of the clerk's office. So those are things we would like to do more of as time allows. In the coming year, again, we would like to increase citizen engagement. I love it that the mayor lets us do the Engagement Academy every year. We're going to do that again as long as we're allowed to do it. And every department participates, and it's really a wonderful thing, and we just hope it grows and grows. We want to continue our professional development and training. In this year's budget, my ask was cut by the mayor. For our staff's training, and I understand that training is often one of the first things to get cut, but that's not going to stop us from trying to still accomplish everything we want to accomplish with training. We will seek scholarships. The clerks are known for offering scholarships both at the international level and the state level, so we're going to seek those out and see if we can accomplish everything we still want to accomplish. My office has been a key part of the new city website build-out. That's a huge goal for us this coming year. The website is really important to our office because it helps. We redirect a lot of traffic to our website, and we are on that website every day making updates. So it's a pretty great tool for my office, so it's important to have a great website. I'm going to task the records manager with this year with building out our Laserfish program. It has a lot more capability than what we're using it for. This is our primary records management software. It also has some records retention functions in there, retention and disposition. And so I'm going to focus a lot of her training and goals on paying more attention to the electronic records at the city. Those are just as important as our paper records. As far as personnel goes, this year the request includes the mayor's proposed increase for FGC staff, which there are two in my office, and the proposed or the IBEW CBA increases for two of us. I'm also requesting a 2.5% merit increase for the licensing clerk cashier. This is one of the, you know, maybe under-recognized positions at the city, but also that person, man, they are there every day, busting their hind in and doing a great job. And I'd like to recognize that hard work, and they've been with the city for a long time. I'm also projecting an increase for the deputy city clerk in the last quarter, so it's prorated. For 2025, he's on track to receive his first layer of certification as a municipal clerk. We think that might happen in September, October timeframe. So I'm budgeting for it just in case. If he doesn't obtain that certification, the increase would not come to fruition. Just a couple other notes about the budget. We've had council travel set at $5,000 for the last several years. This year, the mayor has cut that to $2,500. This line item is used if and when the council would like a representative to travel to Juneau during the legislative session. We have had as many as two council members travel down for that. And this also funds newly elected officials in December to go to the AML newly elected official training in Anchorage. So this will fall short if both of those things happen. It will probably fall short just if one of those things happen. Another item of note, well, I already talked about our department's training being cut. I'm not necessarily asking the council to restore the full amount, but I intend to seek scholarships to cover the difference. Office supplies, I decreased that this year just based on what we've actually been using. I've asked for a small increase of $155 to dues and publications to cover a little bit of membership for our records manager since we added that position. It's best if she becomes a member of the ARMA, which is a national organization for records management. Overall decrease of $100 to our outside contracts because we're issuing fewer and fewer chauffeur licenses, and this covers the cost of background checks for those individuals. And the mayor mentioned that he cut my repairs and maintenance budget from $500 to $250.
Don't break anything.
And I think I can probably live with that. And I just want to mention a plug for the clerk's office. We do work really hard on licensing compliance, and we have exceeded the projected revenue of the council for six of the last 7 years. That's a lot of revenue for the city. Also, our staff, Colt particularly, the deputy clerk, he really has a tight rein on our advertising budget. Our advertising budget is under a different general fund account. It's not under my budget. So you don't see it here, but we directly affect that bottom line. Last year, I think we'd lowered that $5,000. We're lowering it again by another $5,000. And that's just Colt doing the work of taking out duplicate information in every single ad and making sure that we're not putting stuff in there that's unnecessary or not required by code. It's those little things, I think, that really help us if we do that in a lot of places. All the little things really add up. And I think that's all I have.
Council. You have a $2,600,000 surplus. If there is one budget you might want to look at going against the mayor, it'd be this one. You have travel. I looked at one person going down to AML. Not we only have one new council member, Ms. Therian. So if you want to put a bag of $5,000 to have people go to Juneau too, you have enough to do that here. If you want to see if it's okay for her to break something, you can move that up to $500. Training. This is that one budget that, with a easy adjustment, doesn't cause any consternation on her behalf. But it's your budget, whatever you want to do. Mr. Ringstead.
So this year we included a fourth position. Prior to that, you've had just the three of you, right? That's probably been there a while.
As long as I've worked here.
I mean, my concern is it's real easy for us to say, well, would you do this? And pretty soon we've, you know, thrown a whole bunch of little stuff at you that accumulates to be a lot of stuff. And I don't know that I'll ever know how busy they are in there, but I think that is a concern about burning out your staff because we keep throwing little stuff at them all the time. The repairs piece, can you get a repair person to show up for $200? I mean, it's like half the people in town. There's a call-out fee for
$150. Yeah, you can, but I don't know what the quality of repair would be.
Yeah.
Or Mike could go down there.
Yeah, Mike can go down there and fix the IT stuff, sure. Not our bailiwick, right? Yeah. The travel piece, you know, if you go to Juneau, it's going to cost you $1,000 a person just to go down and spend the night and come back. So for $2,500, you're not going to get very far. If we're going to do something, it'll probably cost us more. Whether we budget or not, it probably will. I'm also a little concerned on the training piece. As we continue to ask your people to do more, I think it's important to continue to give them training so at least they know that we're willing to help and get them. Keep them up and growing. So I am concerned that, you know, the truth of the matter is you put them all together and you're not talking $10,000. You know, it's not big money. So my thought at this point, I'm not sure where we want to wind up at the end, but I am concerned about those.
My thought is for concurrence, maybe the council would just want to adopt the clerk's budget as presented to you versus the mayor's budget as presented to you. Is there Ms. Therian?
I would recommend that we go with the 2025 request by the clerk. I am going to AML this year, and then I'm not sure what the legislative committee did. Did anybody go to Juneau last year?
I did.
Okay. Well, on the legislative committee, I'd like to be able to go to Juneau too at some point. So I really think that the travel budget needs to be increased. So I think we should go with the clerks. And I think training's really important. I agree with John. I think that should go up.
Ms. Marnie.
Two things. Your new records manager, is she okay with that pay cut?
It's an increase.
Pay cut.
I'm sorry. Wrong. Yeah.
What are you referring to, Mr.
Well, it Martin? Says that she last year.
She drops from 72.6 to 70,000.
I can address that.
I'm looking at Margarita.
When we presented it in the budget last year, we were not sure what that rate would be. So we estimated what we thought it would be. And now that we have the position and it's approved by the union, what you're seeing is not a cut for her directly, but it's just showing the difference in what we had budgeted from last year based on what actually occurred. Because we do not adjust, when you look at the 2024 approved, it is not adjust for the changes that we may make throughout the year.
We think we brought her in on the 1st of May.
I think it was April. And just another note, Mr. Marnie, that person has successfully completed their probationary period and has now actually just recently got the bump up to the 100% of the wage. Okay. So she has not experienced the loss at all.
Okay. And the other thing I would like to ask about is, how do we utilize our air miles that we achieve by using the Alaska Airlines credit cards? Do we have a policy on that, that where we could funnel those funds into?
We try and do all travel with air miles.
We don't?
So, no, we do.
Okay.
Yeah. Therefore, it's not.
Who gets most of those?
Huh?
Who? What department gets most of those?
Do we account for them in some fashion?
Probably me.
Okay.
Yep. Or yeah, probably me.
But we bank them somehow.
Yeah, we have a wonderful Alaska Airlines credit card with miles, and they don't let me touch it.
What do we use it for?
I imagine electric bills and.
What's that? Right there.
So all of our credit cards are Alaska Airlines. So like Marguerite and I have the two, you know, busiest ones, you know, with the utilities and stuff on there, and that generates a bunch of miles, which we do use for travel. Every department uses it. Their admins usually will coordinate that with Lauren, and she oversees the miles. We were close to 1 million miles last time I checked. I'm not sure. They come and go pretty quick. You know, they get used pretty quickly if you have a lot of travel going on. So,
yeah. Yeah, but do we divide those equally or
try to? We try to do all travel. No matter who's traveling, we try. There's no reason to. We don't have to, like, you know, be selective on who gets what. I think I know where you're going with it, but we don't. Everybody has the opportunity to use them.
Mr. Ringstead, then Ms. Sprinkle.
So we were talking about our travel, so we can do whatever. Most of our plane tickets then are paid for with miles. So what we're putting in here as the council's travel budget, does not include airplane tickets?
I mean, a fraction of the airplane tickets. Most of our tickets are, you know, like $10 or something. You know, they're pretty cheap because we use miles
probably
for it.
You probably have your taxes, but I think the clerk wants to address it, too.
I wrote this budget under the assumption that we were paying for our airline tickets. So my request is assuming we pay. My office typically does pay for our airline tickets. However, there are some times where we might be short, and we've asked the mayor, and they always have granted us use of miles when we've requested it.
Ms. Sprinkle.
Okay, so on paper, we put down $10,000 for the mayor's office to travel, but we don't use dollars. We use air miles.
That too, yes.
Well, it sounds like what I'm hearing. And then are we saying that the travel then becomes the room expenses or what?
Yeah. Well, you know, you get a ticket and that's on your, when you do your budget, you don't know how many miles you're going to use. So that is a cost that we calculate.
You bank it just to have it in case.
So then when I travel, my ticket is a miles ticket. And then if I go to, say, Washington, D.C., like I've done, or Juneau, like I've done, then I use that for hotels. I don't use it for rental cars. I don't use it for food, anything like that, but they give me a per diem. And so my hard costs from the mayor's office are only for hotels, basically, or conference at AML. I'm not going to AML this year. Don't need to go to AML, even though I'm on their board. When they have the meeting in Juneau, I'll go down to Juneau in concurrence with that. You know, we will have some asks this year from the capital budget, so it'll be important for me to go down to Juneau and get that done.
Okay.
So we're very frugal with our travel. And I looked at this and I thought, one council member instead of two going to AML, on the travel budget of airline tickets with the air miles. So then you have the conference fees and the hotel room. That's how I looked at the budget. You know, I didn't look at Juno, to tell you the truth, and that's her budget. So for you. So it gets complicated, but we always go towards frugality, especially on this budget. Ms. Sprinkle?
So if we do change the council travel, it sounds to me that we're trying to accommodate rooms versus air travel.
Well, you budget it no matter what.
Yeah.
Buying a ticket. And then when you do it, you account for it by air miles and see what your budget is remainder after your hotel rooms.
And
conference fees.
Conference fees, yeah. That's a chunk of it too.
And what? Oh,
conference fees.
Is that that? But that's not considered travel, right?
That's part of your travel budget.
Yeah. Oh, so it would be nice to have a little breakdown of that. I hadn't realized. So yeah. That's conference fees, room rental, and
airfare and per diem.
I think our per diem is like $60.
You spent $50 going back and forth to the airport.
Yeah.
Yeah, so per diem.
Sometimes the lobbyists will
bring us back, so that saves money too.
Sometimes.
So anyway, back to the budget. Is there a concurrence from council of accepting the in whole the clerk's budget as presented to you in 2025?
Yes.
She crushes me again.
For right now.
Now, as we go along, you're going to have budget amendments, and you might need for travel, depending on how many people go to Juneau and when the council goes to Juneau, that we might need to adjust that a little bit here and there. But it will not be big.
Now when we finish budget.
Yeah, yeah.
But the difference is less than $6,000,
sure,
between the request and what the mayor.
We might want to make other
changes. Yeah.
We finish this budget.
Yeah.
Okay, anything else on Danny's budget, Mr. Cleworth?
I'm not in agreement on the council member travel, so if you're looking for consensus, I don't agree with that. You look at 2023 for council travel, it was zip. We never used to have such a thing called council travel. It was a part of the mayor's budget. We had a travel budget that the mayor oversaw. When we sent people to Juneau, it was usually for a specific purpose, to lobby for a certain item that we needed. It was very important. To go down there just for general purposes was not done. And I've always lost this argument every year, and that's okay. It remains in there. But I do not feel the council should have a travel budget, per se. I think it should go under the mayor's office. The mayor also has a contingency. So there is a reason to send one of us down there. We had that ability, and I had that ability when I was mayor. And we did do that on specific items. To specific legislators who wanted to be lobbied, we would send down certain individuals that had a connection with them. There was a purpose to it. It wasn't just for general use. So I have no problems with increasing the training, but the council travel should never have been set up, I think, in the first place. So.
Ms. Sprinkle?
So this is to you, Jerry. Does that mean, is AML a thing you don't agree with?
AML, if somebody wanted to go, was covered, again, it was done out of the mayor's office under a blanket travel budget, okay, and authorized for that. I mean, this coming year, are we going to have two new people that want to go to that? We don't know that yet.
Okay. I just didn't know where you stood, because I appreciated going.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I hate to take that away from anybody in the future.
I think my feedback from council members in the past is half of them enjoyed it and half of them thought it was a total waste of money, kind of like what the chief thinks with going to AML. I found it to be an incredible waste of time and money. It was politicking for various things, learn zip. So, you know, we all have different opinions of what it generates. Some people just enjoy the social aspects of it, I guess, but...
Ms. Therian.
When I was on the council before, I was on the board of AML, and I think that they do an excellent job. with regard to helping municipalities and cities. And I didn't think it was a waste of time at all. I thought it was well worth it, and or I wouldn't have been on the board for as long as I was.
You asked me to do one thing when I was elected. I was just continue with AML, and I've done that.
Yep.
Is that before they sued us?
They sued us?
No. Well, AML didn't. AMLJIA did.
Oh, well,
yeah,
that's a different animal. That's right.
Yeah. So anyway, discussion on the floor is on council travel.
Well, normally the policy is if we don't agree, we don't change something if we don't have consensus. I think we have consensus on training, but I
think we have consensus on training and repairs and maintenance.
Yeah.
I mean, I say give it to the clerk, but we may come back and say, well, we can't afford to give it to you. I'm ready to go back to the request amount.
I agree.
Nothing's done until it's done, right? We can move around.
So we will keep council travel at 2,500. We will increase training to 12,900, and will increase repairs and maintenance to $500. Is that a concurrence?
Yeah.
Yes.
Margarita, please take note of that. Ms. Sprinkle, yes.
Where does Yuri? Where are his costs? Where are they put?
Yuri, our lobbyist, is $50,000 contract.
Well, it's under general account. If you just under professional services.
Oh, see, I just would love to have a breakout of who those professional services are, maybe.
It is broken out on page 52, and you'll see lobbyist.
$44,000.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
For about a decade, that was at $40,000. He gave us a new 3-year contract, and he bumped it up to $44,000.
Okay, thank you.
Miss, we have something here from the clerk.
I forgot one of the most important parts of my budget is the election budget. I didn't even mention it. That's remained pretty static, that number at 25,000 for several years. And just a plug that we get a whopping deal because we are able to do our elections with the other local government. So there's no change there. We don't expect a change in 2025 unless something drastic happens.
Actually, can I make a note to that? Is that this year we had 4 elections. And then
we had a special.
It was crazy.
We had a primary, we had a borough, and we have a general.
Correct. So
No. We had an election yesterday on the wall, and the finance won the election.
Wait a minute, really?
We had to split the mayor's office in two for that to happen.
Mayor's office was doing some electioneering down there.
Well done. I guess where I was going is to say that next year would be the same. Seems a little, I'm not taking money away, but I just think it's not going to be that crazy next year, is it?
You never know.
Well, you never know. Some supplies we run shorter on in some years, so we have to order more. This coming year, we'll have to order more absentee ballot envelopes, for example, because the state recently updated those and changed them. And those, you know, if you order those in bulk, they can be quite expensive. But we stay pretty well under that $25,000 mark. We leave a slush just because we never know when we might be approaching that number.
We'll have, per se, one municipal election next year. Any other questions on the budget? So, Ms. Bell.
I just wanted to recap and make sure that I caught everything and we were all in agreement. Under IT, we were changing other outside contracts to $1,450,300. Am I correct? And under the clerks, we're changing training to 12,900 and repairs and maintenance at 500. We did not change the council travel. Am I correct?
You're correct.
Okay, great. And I do have an answer from Mr. Marnie. The mill levy is 5.914 for 2024. Is 5.914. And to go back to Ms. Sprinkle's question about the changes, there will always be a change in the property taxes and your budget amendment because we're estimating it today. But then once we do the actual mill levy, there's going to be an adjustment. So that's what your amendment is adjusting our estimate for 2024. And then when we do the audit, we adjust it to what the actual amount of receipts. So there might be another adjustment. Just to clarify and answer her question on that.
Ms. Sprinkle, you'll recall it, don't worry.
Okay.
Okay, seeing all other businesses, we're good to go. We're adjourned.
Thank you, everyone.
See you next Wednesday when we do police.
Right.